A simple insect lives a globetrotter's life. No dry season will do in this bug's life. Rainfall is needed year-round to maintain a healthy life cycle. So chasing storms all over the Indian Ocean is the bold strategy the globe skimmer uses to maintain moisture. But how can such a small creature manage such an intense journey through life, death, and taxonomy? Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, would you kindly search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify?
Oh, would you kindly? And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/ldtaxonomy or click on donate on our website. I guess I'll throw a would you kindly in there for anyone who's biologically coded to respond to that phrase.
And today we're talking about a globe-trotting insect, but more on that later. Doesn't actually do much trotting.
Globetrotters, that would have been a good nickname inspiration thing.
The Savannah Bananas of basketball.
It's the Savannah Bananas.
I can't stand either of those.
They started it. Yeah, again, I can't think of something, a play on, like, the word Harlem and having to do with this bug right out of the gate. So we're just going to keep moving on. It's also, so this is called the globe skimmer. When I first saw this on our list, I did not know it was a bug.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is a fish. Or a bird or something. But no, it's a bug. It's also known as the wandering glider. It's called the global dragonfly, which gives you an idea of what kind of bug this is. And it's also called the globe wanderer. So those are the names that science gives it, or not science gives it. This just the other nicknames that it has officially, but we're going to call it here Flappy Longstocking and Amelia Air Dart.
I like that one. That's perfect.
That one's topical because they just released the classified files on Amelia Earhart's fateful voyage.
She was abducted by...
Look at us being topical.
Aliens.
Or eaten by coconut crabs.
One of those. Unless coconut crabs are aliens.
That is plausible. Go listen to our coconut crab episode. They're weird. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's taxonomize this.
I think
we've already done a dragonfly-esque... I think we did a mayfly... a year or two ago. It's been so long. They're all running together. But let's run through it again. The kingdom is one you know, love, and are in. The kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda, because it's a bug. It's got its skeleton on the outside. The subphylum is Hexapoda, six legs. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. The class is Insecta. The order, oh yeah, I remember this order. Odonata. Because it sounds like a Japanese warlord.
Odo not a burger. Odo a hot dog.
Or, eat more chicken. The suborder is Anisoptera. The family is Libellulidae. That's fun.
Libellulidae?
Lillilubidae, which is what you how you have to take care of a high mileage car. Lillilubidae.
Yeah.
And the genus is Pentala, and the species is Flavescens. Flavescens. No, so it's the binomial nomenclature here is Pentala flavescens, which brings us to my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, which in this case is nitty gritty nomenclature. Part of the show where I ask you Joe a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Pentala flavescens? What does that mean? Does it mean A, wandering window, B, yellow wings, C, flyer on four wings, or D, all-tailed ghost?
Let's see here. All-tailed ghost. Final answer.
That is incorrect. But you are on the right track. The answer is yellow wings. Really, it's yellow all wings. So I feel like maybe I may have been a little bit not deceitful, but disingenuous. Because there's just no way to yellow all wings.
I guess.
The pan, but it's not all yellow. It's all wings, and they're yellowish. Pentala means all wings. Pan and then tala. And then flavescens is yellowish, or of a yellow color. So, it's kind of just, yeah, it's weird. Why would you call it all wings? Call it four wings. Call it quadtala. Quadtala flavescens. Perfect. Four yellow wings. You did it. Even though the wings are not that yellow. But that brings us to what it looks like. Let's talk about what it looks like. It is yellow. It's golden to yellowish orange. Its carapace, its exoskeleton, it has this metallic sheen to it. It has these two pairs of clear, veiny wings. So, like dragonflies, they have four wings. The inspiration for the ornithopters from Dune. Just about the most energy impractical way of flying. I guess mechanically, to have to flap mm-hmm. two sets of wings.
And yet they are so good at it.
These guys are, but to make a machine that carries people that does that, that's not very energy efficient. Also, there's a lot of moving parts that could go wrong. It also has these incredibly large compound eyes. Think dragonflies. Think Evan Rude from the Rescuers. And that long, skinny abdomen. And overall, they're pretty medium sized as far as dragonflies go. They're not like the big ones from like the Cretaceous period, but they're not your tiny, they're smaller background variety either. They're the ones that you would be okay with being in the vicinity. But if they started kind of doing that like side to side thing very close to you, you'd be like, I'd rather you didn't. How big are they, Joe?
Great question. Welcome to the Love Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the... Well, it's a part of the show. It's part of the show that's when falsus. We present the animal's size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the entire family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week, but that means you get to hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess what it is.
Is it a dragonfly?
Could be.
Is it the character from Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that says dragonfly?
No.
I don't remember when she says, oh, look, a dragonfly.
Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
Zippy,
Do you know who that is?
Is that not Evan Rude?
That's not Evan Rude.
He also can't talk and just buzzes, so.
This guy buzzes. This character buzzes in vaguely intelligible words. Like if you have the text at the bottom of the screen, you can hear the words he's saying. But otherwise, it sounds like nonsense. Until 2004, in the third iteration of this character, where he just talks like a regular person.
A character?
Give it up, Spyro. You'll never fit through that crack in the wall.
That's the same character.
It's a Spyro character?
It is a Spyro character.
Oh, goodness. I have played 1 hour of one Spyro game at a friend's house. So there you go.
I played it for the first time in a hotel room when they used to put Nintendos in like the embassy suites. And
that must have been the height of luxury.
It cost some money. They figured out a way to make it cost money. But I got to play it.
Nice. Yeah, that would have been awesome. I never stayed at a hotel that had video games already in there. Or maybe my parents did a sweep beforehand. Just make sure there's no unauthorized video games there. But yeah, interesting. What's his name?
The character's name is Sparks the Dragonfly.
Sparks the Dragonfly.
He's like the Na'vi or the little character that follows around the other character and tells him is the exposition dumper.
Oh, so it's like the most annoying character in the game.
Or like flies to something and it's like, you should look at this. This is how you figure out the puzzle.
It's the hand-holding NPC.
Yes.
And then there's just like a long escort quest where the dragonfly can die and then you have to fight off waves of crocodile enemies or whatever you fight in Spyro. I don't even know what you fight in Spyro. I was thinking of the game Croc, which is like Spyro, but you just play as a crocodile instead.
Platformer with light combat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Globe Skimmer has a body length of 4.5 to 5 centimeters or 1.8 to 2 inches. So how many of these things go into it or vice versa? Two globe skimmers go into the length of a Seychelles giant millipede. B, 2.5 globe skimmers go into the diameter of a Maldivian coconut shell. A coconut from the Maldives.
From the Maldives, yeah.
Or C, 4 globe skimmers go into the length of a Madagascar day gecko.
As opposed to an evening gecko. Mm-hmm. A floor-length evening gecko.
Or a morning gecko. Remember those?
Yes, the ones that duplicate themselves.
That was a different kind of morning.
The Maldivian coconut shell. Final answer.
Final answer. The correct answer is 2.5 go into the Maldivian coconut skrill. That was correct.
Yes.
Let's talk about their wingspan. They average between around 3.3 inches or 8.4 centimeters. Is it A, 1.5 acacia thorns go into the wingspan of a globe skimmer? B, 3.1 cinnamon sticks go into the wingspan of a globe skimmer? Or C,
cinnamon sticks?
Yeah.
Like the thickness of one? Or a whole cinnamon stick? Cinnamon sticks are like 4 inches long.
A whole cinnamon stick. C, 2.2 globe skimmers fit into the wingspan of an African monarch butterfly. cinnamon sticks, the things the British Empire went to war to get, went all over the world, braved the Northwest Passage to get faster.
At getting cinnamon.
Actually, they were trying to get to China.
It's because all the spices, like cinnamon, were in China.
Well, these were in India.
Well, either way, you're getting to the other side of the world.
Yeah.
To get some spice.
Acacia thorns.
Oh, acacia thorns.
Thorns are the whistling thorn acacia in East Africa.
We're going to go with the African monarch butterfly. Because that would be huge. 6-inch. But still, that would be cool.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Correct answer is the acacia thorns, which are about 2 inches long. The monarch butterfly of Africa is 4 inches. Still big.
Still big, but not.
Cinnamon sticks are about 3 inches. A dinner plate.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a cinnamon stick is... I didn't know if, like, I just didn't know how they were made or something, or how they were harvested, and you somehow bundle them. I don't know. I was worried there was information I was lacking about cinnamon sticks, but I was like, I have cinnamon sticks, and they're big. I mean, bigger than your average dragonfly.
All right, that's all I got for that. Do you have any little facts?
I sure do.
Not to infantilize your facts.
What?
I called them little facts.
Yeah, don't condescend to my facts. All right. They live almost everywhere. Well, specifically below the, what is it, the 40 degree parallel, I believe. Everywhere below, like, the entire continent of Africa, the Arabian Peninsula, southern India, all through Southeast Asia, Australia, and then most of North America and South America. They really just don't like the cold, dry places of the stands, the steppes, the Russia, the Eastern Europe, and the Canada, and the Argentina. But they're everywhere else. They like freshwater ponds and lakes, puddles. They are carnivorous. They eat mosquitoes, so they are blessed to me. They are they're enshrined. I feel like the Egyptians should have worshipped them. Anything that eats mosquitoes is a hero that doesn't wear a cape. Unless you wear a cape while you eat mosquitoes, in which case, do you. They also eat midges, other small flying insects. They are typically solitary, but they can gather into very large swarms and travel. And this is especially common during mating season, where they mate mid-flight. So it's kind of like the Mile High Club for bugs. And they have to keep an eye out for typical bug predators, birds, frogs, spiders, things with faster reflexes than a bug. And I will leave it there.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm calling this major fact. I don't know. I forgot to do it. Trans Indie. Indian Oceanic Flight. Not a bumblebee. We're talking migration. The globe skimmer is one of the longest migrating insects. And I think it even trumps the North American monarch butterfly that goes to Mexico from like Canada.
Oh, yeah?
I think.
Seems like it does based off of this, like, max distance that I'm seeing here.
They undertake a migration that could span entire oceans, notably across the Indian Ocean, covering distances of up to 18,000 kilometers or 11,185 miles. And it may be the longest known insect migration.
That definitely seems longer than the distance between Canada and Mexico. Mm-hmm.
One of the more well-documented paths they take involve traveling to India. They'll spend August in southern India and take off from there, going to the Maldives, reaching there by October. Then by November, they're in the Seychelles. They're living in the lap of luxury.
Yeah, then you go to the Canary Islands and then the Bahamas.
Well, from the Seychelles, they go to Mozambique, get there in December. And then through April, they'll return to India via the Maldives. So it's like a round trip for a whole year. So they'll take advantage of seasonal monsoon winds. This round trip migration is completed over multiple generations, with each generation covering a segment of the journey. The migration involves at least four generations to complete the full circuit. Each generation breeds, lays eggs, and dies, with their offspring continuing on the journey.
Surely not like over the ocean, though.
No, that's why they need like the Maldives and stuff. They need the stopping points.
That reminds me of the Naturama episode of Futurama, where in the time it takes for the tortoise to climb up a small hill, like five generations of like finches have passed.
Yeah.
It's just like this journey is a generational journey for these short-lived animals that are all dedicated to going one way.
Well, these bugs weren't content with a single record. They have not just the longest flight, but also the highest. They have fly at altitudes of up to 1,000 meters or 3,280 feet. And can cover up to 112 miles per day. Some estimates suggest that they could travel up to 7,000 kilometers in a single day, which 180 kilometers is 12,000 miles. So you do the math on that.
No, you do the math.
I never will.
I'm done with school.
Globe skimmers breed in temporary freshwater pools, such as those formed during monsoon seasons. Their larvae develop rapidly, allowing new generations to emerge and continue the migration quickly. And they're often found in diverse habitats, including rice paddies, urban ditches, and they're extremely adaptable. So from like the Maldives to Somalia, sometimes they'll have to fly 2,500 kilometers nonstop, which is unmatched considering its body size. So I guess the point of this is following moisture. They're following moist winds. They need standing water to reproduce. They're similar to a mosquito. So they'll need like some sort of still water to produce, and you need fresh moisture, fresh water, standing in pools to be able to get that, and you need moisture, rainfall, stuff like that. So they don't live they don't have a year-long life cycle, so they have to follow the moisture, go where the wetness is.
Yeah, it seems like the reason why they fly so high is they use thermals, which is just like warm air that's warmed by the ground below that, you know, rises up and then cools and then comes back down. Mm-hmm. So they're just like rocketed up to the stratosphere,
which
literally.
Didn't we find out that we talked about a bird of, was it the condor or some really high flying bird that does something similar, convection currents?
Oh, I can't remember. Maybe it was the condor. We did the condor so long ago. Was that like 2019?
It could have been a condor or some sort of vulture. But yeah, same thing. Convection currents take you high. But that's all I got for that. Was it the bearded vulture? No, that's the iron wings. Don't know. I forget what it was.
Old Iron Wings. That's a Civil War general if I've ever heard of one.
Or a ship.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I can't remember which one it was. All right.
But yeah, this is a long flying bug. Which
flies across entire oceans.
Isn't it? It's similar to the migration of that eel, where generations continue a journey to a place they've never been. In fact, their parents never were there. Their grandparents may not have been there. It's a place where your great grandparents were.
Why? Why go?
Because they need the wet.
Oh, I mean, why does an eel go? They've got the wet.
An interbreeding, global interbreeding population, or panmictic, which is a population that breeds in different places, I guess.
Panmictic.
The ability of individuals in a population to interbreed without... No, never mind. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Interbreed without genetic
Interbreed issues. Without restrictions. Individuals are able to move about freely within their habitat, possibly over a range of hundreds of thousands of miles, and thus breed with other members of the population. So humans are that, I guess. Uniform random fertilization. They do not select a mate based on physical traits. Okay. I'm seeing. Seems like a genetic thing that also goes with the fact that they travel. Not, it doesn't mean that they.
Yeah, so those wild oats, right?
Literally.
Have love, will travel. I actually don't know what that reference is from. I know it's like a movie or something. So hopefully it's not a bad reference.
I don't either, but I hope it's good.
All right, that was the Globe Skimmer, the dragonfly that flies across the Indian Ocean over generations to migrate. If you're out there in Podcastia, spread your crystal clear wings. Go on your Rumspringa up a thermal and across the vast ocean. And don't let that ocean stop you from getting to your dream home, like the Globe Skimmer here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy. Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
Globe Skimmer is a cool name, and it doesn't sound like an animal.